The French are often lauded for their fashion, their food, and that liberated way in which they live life. Now it seems their children have also become a part of that elusive ideal. They're patient, well-behaved, and well-adjusted kids. And no, apparently they're not born that way. In fact, Pamela Druckerman, a former staff reporter for the Wall Street Journal, says that French character is carefully crafted from the moment a baby joins the family. Ms. Druckerman moved to Paris shortly before giving birth to her first child, and so began her quest to understand the ways French mothers were raising their kids and what American mothers might be missing. She has called her new book Bringing Up Bébé, One American Mother Discovers the Wisdom of French Parenting. It's published by Penguin Press. I'm very pleased to welcome Pamela Druckerman to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me here.
Some critics have called this the French version of Amy Chua's Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, although you're not French. She is Chinese. What specific French and American demographic were you focusing on in this book?
I focus mostly on the middle classes in both places, kind of urban middle classes.
And in your case, also mostly Parisians.
Mostly Parisians, but I interviewed people in Paris who come from all over the country, and I read parenting books, French parenting books and magazines. I visited the schools where they train people to work in the national daycare centers. I read a lot of scientific research comparing French and American moms out of, you know, American universities. So I feel like the people I mostly interviewed were out of urban centers and they were middle class. But I got through the additional research, I got a flavor for people from, you know, across the country. And I read a lot about American trends in American parenting. And I feel like I'm capturing a certain cultural ideal in each place, even if it's not how every single person behaves in each place.
Is there a French Dr. Spock?
There is a French Dr. Spock. I don't know why I sounded British when I said that.
I don't know how you would say Dr. Spock in French.
they don't really talk about him, Dr. Spock. Yes, there is. There's her name is Françoise Dolto. She was born around the same time that Dr. Spock was born. She's also a pediatrician and psychoanalyst, and she has really never been translated into English. There's one book and it's out of print, and she pervades French parenting. I mean, it's just she's felt French parenting is built on this plateau of Françoise Dolto, and Americans don't know anything about her.
So in reading her book, did you see that reflected in what you observed?
Absolutely.
And what people were telling you when you talked to them.
Absolutely. I mean, her basic principle is that a baby is rational from the moment that he's born, that he is born actually understanding language. And you see this in the way the French parent, I mean, not everybody would articulate it exactly that way, but you see French parents bringing a baby home from a hospital and giving him a tour of the house. They're saying, this is where you live. This is who your parents are. Dolto didn't say that kids always had to be happy. She said that they always need to understand what's going on, that if the parents are divorcing, for example, or a grandparent dies, you have to tell the child and kind of accompany the child through the experience with language. That what makes a child unhappy is confusion of having the two different versions of the truth.
And you should not protect the child from the difficulties of life.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean you should throw your child into the fire, but you trust that what the child needs is kind of confidence that the way he sees the world is valid.
Now, before you had your first child, had you paid much attention to parenting styles in other countries?
No, why would I?
Well, your husband's British. Is there a different parenting style there?
It's similar to the American style. I think a lot of the assumptions about the best way to parent in America have arrived in the UK very much and elsewhere. I mean, I've been amazed to get responses to this book from Chileans, from Swedes, from Germans saying, you know, we all have this intensive style of parenting too. And they also said, we don't know why we're doing it.
Well, why do you suppose many parents, particularly younger generations, feel compelled to follow a parenting philosophy? Where did that come from, and did you find that to be the case in France? Was it all Dolto?
Well, there's certainly it's certainly more uniform in France. I mean, it took a while to figure out what everybody was doing there, in part because they didn't think they were doing anything special, because they were all more or less doing the same thing. French women, when they're pregnant, don't, you know, they might read some parenting books, but they don't feel that they have to choose a parenting philosophy. They don't know about Ferberizing, and they don't have names for all these different brands and gurus. They just sort of figure it out together, but they end up doing more or less the same thing. And they don't have this style of parenting that has developed in America over the last 15 or 20 years, where they feel that, you know, there's a need to stimulate children all the time. And that's something that's new for Americans as well, and that we're starting to question now, I think.
You start your book with a scene in a French restaurant with your husband and daughter, and what you observe there as a civilizing force among the French parents and their children. What did you see?
Well, I was having what I thought was a typical experience with a toddler in a restaurant, where my daughter was would sit in her chair for about 4 minutes before she started sort of tearing apart sugar packets and demanding to be sprung from her high chair and running around the restaurant. And my husband and I were, of course, having a terrible time, as we thought we would. And after a couple of these meals, I looked around and I realized that French parents were having a very different experience, that their kids were sitting happily in their chairs.
All of them?
Pretty much all of them. I mean, of course you can find exceptions, of course, but the norm in France is really different. Kids are expected to behave in restaurants, and they're not, they weren't little robots, little obedient robots, or else it wouldn't be worth talking about. They were chatting happily with their parents. They were eating all kinds of food. They were, they were having the whole family was having a much better experience.
And why do you think that is? Is it because families tend to eat together all the time? We have a lot of American families that make that a rule.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are plenty of, I've certainly heard back from lots of American families since this book has come out saying, we're French. We do the same thing.
There are some things that Americans might have a harder time going along with, and we'll get to those.
Sure. But insisting that their kids know how to sit properly at the table. But it's not, I think that, again, the norm is different in America.
So the French kids don't refuse to eat their vegetables. They don't throw their food. They don't have tantrums in the park, even though the play, what was it, Gods of Carnage, was actually a French play.
Okay.
They don't forget to say bonjour or au revoir.
Well, occasionally French
sounds
children
great.
Have. It's no, I mean, French parenting isn't perfect. It's not black and white at all in the book. I talk about what a hard time French parents often have too, but I think, from a very early age, one thing French parents stress with their kids is learning how to wait, learning patience, learning self-control, not expecting to get what they want immediately. And I think that just learning that skill, and French parents really think it's a skill, it's not something you're either born with or not born with, helps them out a lot.
Although I remember when I watched television with my son when he was very young, there was a show where one of the songs was, patience means you have to wait, hold your breath, and count to eight. So understand that.
No, I think they understand it. I think it's a question of degree. You know, Americans say they want their kids to learn that patience is a virtue, that kids need to learn to wait their turn and to share and all that. But French parents really take this to a whole new level.
My guest is Pamela Druckerman. Her book, Bring Up Bébé, One American Mother Discovers the Wisdom of French Parenting. It's published by the Penguin Press. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. You go beyond generalizations and really get into the nuts and bolts of parenting style, starting with how the French are experts at getting their infants to sleep through the night.
Well, this is based on the idea, Francoise Dolto's idea, that even from birth, a baby is a person, and that means he can learn things. It doesn't mean he can learn to sort of operate heavy machinery, but he can learn how to sleep, and they think it's a parent's job to teach the child how to sleep. And they do this not by letting the baby cry for long periods. They didn't have a name for it. It was me, the American, who had to sort of brand it, and I call it the pause. And all it is when the baby cries at night, even from a few weeks old, the parents don't immediately rush into his room and pick the baby up. They watch and they wait. And they're watching to see if the baby can learn to connect his sleep cycles on his own. And if he can do that, he's golden. He can start sleeping longer periods.
But usually crying does mean the child has some kind of problem that should be addressed, doesn't it?
What the French say is, if the baby continues crying, absolutely, you pick him up. You know, if he needs food, he needs something, he needs comfort, something. But often the baby's crying because he's learning to connect to sleep cycles. But if you interrupt him, he'll never have a chance to learn that, or it'll take him a lot longer to learn
that.
Well,
the tendency here, perhaps, is to breastfeed the child, give the child a bottle. The French are less likely to breastfeed. In this country, there is even the La Leche League.
Yeah, they have that in France, too. Yeah.
But it's been said that a lot of French women of the middle class and upper middle class don't want to breastfeed because they associate it with the way peasants bring up their kids.
I think it does still have this kind of peasant image in France. And from the days when there were wet nurses and French women, you know, the 18th century French women just dispatched their infants immediately to the countryside. But I think it's also a question of, you know, of priorities for French women. I think they increasingly there is social pressure in France to breastfeed. But women, French mothers, weigh their own quality of life too. They say, you know, what does it mean? You know, what does it mean if I'm, you know, breastfeeding for a year, as, for example, the WHO recommends? What does that mean for me?
You also point out that the French feed their infants grown-up foods like fruits and vegetables way before we would, when we're still giving them cereals and the kind of blander things that we feed kids until, I guess, their teeth come in.
American kids have babies that eat vegetables too, but I think there's much more of an emphasis in France on cultivating the baby's palate from the time he's born. French mothers will say to me, I wanted him to understand, you know, what a carrot tastes like. They don't just talk about vegetables as kind of, you know, generic, you know, unpleasant group of vitamins. They really think that, you know, a child isn't born liking different flavors. He's taught to like them, and that is a parent's job. It's part of what the French call their education.
One major difference you write about is that French women don't renounce pleasure the moment that they become mothers. How do they define that pleasure that you're talking about?
Well, I think part of it is finding a balance. I mean, I think the French would say, you know, no one part of your life, you know, not being a mom, not being a worker, not being a wife should overwhelm the other parts of your life. And I find that French women take these little pockets of personal time whenever they can, whenever they, you know, for example, you know, birthday parties for little kids in America and among my American friends in Paris, often the parents have to stay, whereas in France, they're drop-offs. You leave the child and then you come back 2 hours later for a cup of champagne and take your child home.
Now, my sense of parenting in France is I've been influenced a bit by the movies. So I have a very different sense of what goes on. I remember The 400 Blows and the parents were problems in that film by François Truffaut.
Sure.
In Louis Malle's Murmur of the Heart, the mother slept with her son. Catherine Breillat's 36 Fillette and Fat Girl, the parents were real problems. So everything isn't hunky-dory in French parenting.
Everything isn't hunky-dory in French parenting, but like every parenting culture, including our own, French parenting has been very much in flux. And those movies that you're describing, most of which I've seen, I think come from a different era in French parenting when it was much more severe. And Françoise Dolto hadn't kind of brought in her softening influence yet, where you should listen to kids. And I think what you have in French parenting now is this kind of blend of that old school parenting, but also this idea that you really have to be in touch with kids and have complicity with them.
But when you say that, the French like the phrase, c'est moi qui décide, it's I who decide. American parents often talk to their kids in that way. In fact, one of the complaints that some of the French have is that we consult with the kids too much.
Yeah. I mean, I think American parents are – that consulting reflects that ambivalence that American parents have about authority, I think. I mean, on certain things we're really strict, like security for kids. But on other things, I think there's a – you know, one American father said to me, I feel more guilty about getting angry than I feel angry. I think we're worried about damaging our kids. We're you know, the most psychoanalyzed generation ever. Therapy is part of our culture. We think that kids are quite fragile, I think. And the French think that they can be tough about certain things and they pick their battles.
In fact, you talk in this book about what you see as a neuroses among middle and upper middle class parents in New York City. You write that it starts the moment a woman finds out she's pregnant.
Well, I'm speaking for myself there because I certainly got this panic. I was treating my pregnancy like it was a graduate school degree and that I had to study up and read up for it. And I think...
Well, how many kids do you have?
Three.
That didn't happen with the second and the third. That only happened with the first. Isn't that part of the learning curve?
It's part of the learning curve, but I think it's also part of the culture that you show how invested you're going to be as a mother and what a good mother is by how worried you are. Whereas in France, that you show what a good mother you're going to be by showing how calm you are.
So you became pregnant when you were in France, and were people laughing at you? Oh, she's being so American.
Well, they did when I'd say to the waiter in the restaurant, "Is this Parmesan cheese pasteurized? I must know." And they thought I was a little nuts, but I think they already thought I was. You know, I was used to New York, where you get dressing on the side and everything the way you want it.
Well, your last book took you in your subtitle from Tokyo to Tennessee. Did you look for similar kinds of things all around the world when you were working on this book? Check out Latin America, Africa, Asia.
I was a lot less mobile when I was working on this book because I had a little baby already, so which is part of why I decided, I think, to stick to France for this book. But as I said, I've been getting responses from all over the world, and I think that that something about this intensive style of parenting that's responding to a lot of the research that came out in America about what kids need in the 90s has really taken hold.
You mentioned patience. How is that taught in France? There's a term called sage, isn't there?
Sage.
Sage?
Okay. Sage, yeah. It's like sage, sage. In English. The wisdom kind of... what French parents say to their kids is not be good. They say be sage.
Be patient. So can you say be sage to a toddler?
Yeah. One thing that French parents do is they really don't give their kids food all the time, in between meals. They expect kids to wait between meals. And there's one snack a day. It's in the afternoon. It's called the goûter. And, just that very act of, if you give a child candy in the morning or you buy some candy, you say you're not going to have it now. You're going to have it for your snack and your afternoon snack in the afternoon. So little by little, I think it's really just through practice kids learn to wait. They serve food in courses. So you don't get everything right away.
One of the things I think that people probably have the most problems with in reading your book is your description of the French playground. Because Americans tend to hover over their children. They make sure that they don't fall. French parents seem to be sitting in the far periphery talking to themselves. If their kid is walloping another kid, they barely notice. Unless they
really?
Write a play about it.
No,
that then gets transported to Brooklyn in the American version.
Right. No, I think that French parents do not want their children to get injured in playgrounds or to injure other children.
But they do seem to be rather less engaged with what their kids are doing, paying less attention.
Yeah, I think the French idea is that children need to learn to be able to play by themselves. And it's not just for the convenience of parents, although it definitely is convenient for parents not to have to hover. But it's also, they think, being able to be alone with yourself, to be comfortable in your own skin, to have an inner life, to have the resources to not be bored, is a basic life skill, and that kids will not be happy if they can't do this.
In her review of your book in the Sunday Times, Elaine Chalino, who is a Paris correspondent for the New York Times, talked about taking her kid to a doctor. And when the doctor treated her child rather roughly, she had an injured arm, and she objected, the doctor said something like, "Oh, grow up."
Yeah, I had a very similar experience to that I write about in the book, where my daughter was about to get a shot, and I said to my daughter, "I'm so sorry," and the doctor said, "Don't apologize. Certain things in life are rough." And I think, there definitely is a strain of that, and I'm not here to defend everything about French parenting, of course, but there are lots of things I love about American parenting too that I try to bring to my family. But I think there's certain aspects of French parenting especially in this moment in America, I think are kind of instructive.
Well, now I'm going to read something somebody just wrote in. Jeff left this comment on our show page. He writes, "I'm half French, have lived in France, and have attended..." schools. I've seen more French kids having tantrums and being yelled at and smacked around or ignored by their parents than I have noticed anywhere else. French parents often have a very short fuse, and patience is not their strong point. Their schools apply mindless disciplinary rules that the kids often resent and rebel against. If they behave well, it's usually because they're afraid of getting a smack. French culture certainly creates a more maturing environment for children, but French parenting, on average, is no better than anyone else's.
I think that the writer is comparing a little bit confusing parenting and schools. I think French schools are very, very tough. They don't give a lot of positive reinforcement to kids, and I think they can be quite demoralizing, especially in the upper years. I haven't gotten to that yet, but I think the parents are in general tend to be more supportive. If you look at, it sounds like he had a terrible experience, but if you look at the statistics on spanking and supportive spanking, I mean, French parents now the majority are opposed to corporal punishment, and pretty much every French expert I could find is against spanking. So it still definitely goes on, but I don't think that at all is the secret to what the French do well.
And the French don't have capital punishment, and nobody's complained about their treatment of prisoners at Guantanamo Bagram.
So that is true.
It's a more complicated situation. I don't think any country can say we're doing the best. I mean, I can go through a list of things that disturb me about what happens when French people become adults. The neo-fascist party of Le Pen is growing in popularity in France. Dominique Strauss-Kahn has been in a string of scandals. The poor have rioted on and off. And I'm not sure whether any of this is because of better or worse parenting.
Right. I mean, the point isn't that French parents do everything well. It's that what they do in parenting is that in a few key areas, like we were talking about food and sleep and teaching patience and authority, they tend to just sort of hone in on a few key techniques that really do work. And I also think it's always interesting for me as an American to step outside my own culture and see what the sort of invisible guiding assumptions are, and just to get some perspective on what we're doing here.
I wonder what you would have found if you had your child in Germany or Sweden or Japan.
I probably wouldn't have written a parenting book in any of those places, but I hope that as a journalist I would have found something to write about.
But German kids are well behaved.
German parenting, I think, is very similar to American parenting, where women, especially educated, university-educated women, often stop working when they have kids. And I've just actually sold a German translation of my book, and the editors there said, we want to hear about French parenting, too. Because I think French somehow, you know, French have the highest birth rate now in Western Europe, or they're tied with Ireland. Or they've surpassed Ireland.
Is there any explanation? The French aren't particularly religious.
They're the least religious country in Europe.
So this
now,
is not because they're Catholic.
No, not at all. I think it's partly because it is possible in France for women to work full time and have kids.
Well, the French government subsidizes childcare and education, also offers generous benefits to parents. How do you think they influence the way children are raised there?
I think it makes it a lot easier. Yeah, it makes it easier that the government, there's a national system of daycare centers that are regulated by the government that are hard to get into. We got a spot, but it was tough. But you know that from age three, public school is going to start. There's universal free preschool in France. And I think that absolutely makes it easier to have a life. But I don't think that's the only requirement. I think there are all kinds of things that you can do that aren't contingent on public services.
Well, French parents are very happy to send their infants to public daycare all day. American parents probably would be freaking out somewhere around 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, French mothers who professional mothers prefer.
Like?
Prefer daycare to private nannies. They say they want lots of eyes watching their kids. They don't just want their child to be sort of alone with a stranger. They're great. I mean, the most amazing part to me about the daycare are the menus, the lunch menus. There's a 4-course meal every day for 18-month-olds. And I can tell you, I sat in on some of these lunches, and it's like being at a French bistro. You know, the teacher would uncover each platter and say, le poisson, and there would be a different cheese every day. The day that I sat in on lunch, all the kids were eating blue cheese, these 2-year-olds. So I discovered that is possible.
Well, it also suggests that one of the reasons Americans are picky eaters is that we don't really expose our kids to a wide enough variety of foods when they're very young.
That's, when I tell French mothers that there are American kids who will only eat pasta or only eat white rice, they can't believe it. I mean, they honestly think that the parents have failed in their mission to sort of teach kids about the pleasure of food.
But hasn't France been changing in vis-a-vis food? Sure, you still have the great restaurants and you have these wonderful bistros, but you're seeing more and more fast food places. And if anything, it feels like Paris is becoming more Americanized than the French probably should have allowed.
I think the French would be the first ones to say that things have gotten worse in French cuisine and French life generally. I mean, you could find the French tend to be extremely negative about everything. But I think if you compare it to America, I mean, look at obesity, childhood obesity rates. They still have the French have a much lower rate of childhood and adult obesity than Americans do. They still really are not, kids are not snacking between meals and they're eating a huge variety of foods, which includes chocolate. I mean, you see French kids eating usually a little bit of chocolate every day, often for their afternoon snack, but still not getting fat. So they've taken on board some of these principles about how, you know, you can allow yourself to enjoy certain foods a little bit and not treat them like forbidden fruit and then gorge on them.
So it's not a matter of drinking wine with every meal that keeps French kids getting fat? Because that was the argument in the past that French had lower cholesterol because they drank wine with every meal, or at least lunch and dinner. And it turns out there are certain things in wines that cut down on cholesterol. But you don't
French
see
kids
you don't
drink
see
wine.
Fat, but you
I'm
don't have obesity among French kids.
You have a very small amount of obesity, but you don't have it nearly to the extent that you have it in the United States.
Lisa left a message on our show page. She said, "I was raised in the UK and France in the 1970s. When I was a child, there was no child menu either at home or outside. Is this changing in France with the popularity of McDonald's and similar places?"
You can now find kids' menus in some restaurants in France, but it's usually the kids' menu is usually just a smaller portion of something that's on the main menu. And at home, you don't have separate meals for kids. Everybody eats the same thing.
So you have now three children, a daughter and twin boys, who grew up mostly in France?
Entirely in France.
But they come here?
They come here usually in the summer. We try to spend about a month here.
And
in
how
the
did
summer.
They relate to other kids here? Did they think that they're weird?
They think macaroni and cheese is weird. My daughter looks at it and says, "That is not cheese, Mommy. I'm not going to eat that." But I think they're
missing something. I have to. There's a place for macaroni and cheese too.
Probably. I have to get them used. I have to make them keep tasting it. We read them English books, and you know, my daughter watches Sesame Street, and you know, I like the American story that that's very positive and optimistic, and you know, that says everything is possible, where things turn out okay in the American books, and the French kids' books, like, nothing really turns out okay. The problem comes back, and I like them. I really like the fact that they'll have a little bit of each.
Mike from Washington Heights writes, "Americans who are poor or upper class don't fret when their kids are in daycare. It's the middle class who do." But you're writing mostly
I think it's the middle class in America who have the most problems with daycare. I mean, we don't have, you know, there are many states which have very weak inspection of daycares. And, you know, I think the lower classes don't have a choice. And the upper classes can pay for fancy daycares where they know they're getting the kind of service that their kids deserve.
So if it was a norm here, we would probably have different attitudes.
If there was national inspection of daycare, if we had a system like the U.S. military has, for instance, the U.S. military runs a national daycare system that looks a lot like the French national daycare system.
Now, don't say this to Rick Santorum. He'll say that you're just promoting indoctrination centers for children.
Well, he would write me off just from the start just because I speak French, probably.
Interestingly, you dedicate your book to Simon, your husband, who you write makes everything matter. I would suspect that most American mothers who are writing a book like this would dedicate it to their kids, who they say,
Well, my kids can't read yet, and my husband can, so that was part of my logic.
Are your kids growing up bilingual?
They are. We speak only English at home, and they go to French public school.
Uh-huh. Do they help you when you're having a problem saying certain things in French?
Constantly now. I try not to speak French in front of my daughter because she's always saying it's le mommy, it's not la. She's not quite right now. She's just proud of herself that she can correct me, but I'm sure the shame is coming down the pike.
Pamela Druckerman will be giving a reading and signing books tonight at 6 o'clock at the Barnes and Noble store in Tribeca. That's at Warren and Greenwich. And then again this Friday at 7 o'clock at Book Court on Court Street in Brooklyn. Cobble Hill, Borum Hill, the area that many people say, like Park Slope, is the problem in America.
But there are also a lot of French families who live there, so we'll see. It should be an interesting conversation.
Bring Up Bébé, One American Mother Discovers the Wisdom of French Parenting, is published by the Penguin Press. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.